Lori Foster is in the studio with me tonight. She's one of our local authors with a well-established writing career, and she's written a number of books which regularly appear on the bestseller list, including those of the New York Times and USA Today. She's the recipient of the prestigious RT Book Review's Career Achievement Award for series romantic fantasy and for contemporary romance. Tonight, we're going to talk about her latest book titled Bear It All, which is the second in her new Love Undercover series. Lori's also a wonderfully philanthropic person. We're going to find out about her upcoming reader and author charitable event that takes place in Westchester, June 6th to 9th. Welcome, Lori.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Let's talk about romance first.
Okay.
Because we have a pretty impressive guy named Reese in this book of yours titled Bear It All. And there's this initially modest seeming Alice. So just if you would kind of give us a physical description of them, what they do in their life, and then we'll move on.
Alice actually appeared in a previous series I did that was based on human trafficking. I don't know if a lot of people realize, but human trafficking, we used to think of it as this exotic crime that happened in foreign countries. And in fact, it's everywhere now. It's in your own backyard. It's actually very prevalent here in the U.S. It's actually been in the news very recently. I mean, that drives home how horrific it is more so than anything else. And Alice was one of the people that had escaped. And she was a secondary character. She had a small role in the other series. But as often happens with my characters, she didn't want to leave. She was not a secondary character content to be closed away with the last series. And she just kept pecking at my brain and telling me little clues about herself and telling me she had more to share. And before I realized that she showed up, like you say, this is the second book. I was writing the first, and all of a sudden, Alice was a neighbor. And I didn't realize Alice was going to be a neighbor until she showed up. But she very much keeps to herself because of what she's been through. And she, you know, is very focused as far as getting where she needs to go safely and getting back, very drawn into herself because of what she had suffered in the previous series. And so the hero of the book is an undercover detective who, of course, is very intrigued by a woman who's not saying hi, not noticing him, not paying any attention, and basically just looking past him. As I like to think, most of our police officers have sort of a sixth sense about someone in danger or someone who's hiding painful secrets. And he's got that intuition going where he just feels like maybe she could still be in danger. And because I'm such a huge animal supporter, I often write animals into stories. And it was actually a dog that he rescued that sort of brought the two of them together. And Alice is very plain, deliberately. Most women know if we haven't done our hair and our makeup and we aren't wearing the right clothes, we can look terrible or we can look our best. And Alice chose to try to look her worst. But again, my cop is a little bit more intuitive than that, and he sort of sees past that outer shell. And they get to know each other. And because I like to write alpha men who are very, very protective, who try to take charge of situations, but I also like to write women who are strong enough that they're not doormats to that. So they end up sort of helping each other out through a few things in the story.
Yes, they're neighbors, and Cash the dog is the matchmaker.
Yes, and Cash is actually, so often the animals I have in my stories are modeled after animals that I have or my family has. We're all big animal lovers. And my brother had just adopted a dog. She's actually a girl, not a boy, and her name was Kirby. He named her Kirby because she vacuumed up anything that hit the floor. But I liked that idea, and so I thought, well, we'll name the dog. I always try to protect their identity. Of course, and I'm telling you here on the radio. So we changed Kirby to Cash and made her a boy, but all of the descriptions are of Kirby.
I want to go to another part of your life because you are amazingly philanthropic, and one of the events that you do annually is called the Reader and Author Event. Other authors are involved in this also. It's going to take place June 6th to 9th this year. Will you tell us about what happens and who this benefits?
Sure. The idea started when a very good friend of mine, who's also a local author, Duffy Brown, she writes cozy mysteries. She and I kind of became published together right around the same time. And it was, you know, we suffered all the rejection letters and things together. And we would go to conferences and you would run into an author and have time to say hi, you know, a sister author, someone else who you'd come into the business with, or a reader, and you would only have a chance to say hi because you were so busy. There was never that just sit down and catch up time, which was so precious. We'd go to parties at the writing conferences and the music would be too loud to really talk. So we said, you know, we need to do something where we can sit down with some of our favorite readers and our sister authors and actually have time to talk. And we sort of envisioned it as a giant tea. You know, if you had 500 girlfriends sitting down together, Very low-key, very casual. I'm a jean wearer, as you can see. I'm a very non-dress-up person. That was one of my grievances with conferences. You had to put on, like, your business clothes. I had to go buy a business clothes outfit every time I had to go to a conference. So I wanted something that I could be comfortable at and that she could be comfortable at and that we could all catch up. But the first year we did it, we were thinking if we got 20 people, we'd be happy, and we had 100. And each year we've expounded on that because we wanted to make it very, very affordable for readers and authors alike, because conferences can get very, very expensive. And, you know, as a writer, they tell you should go to conferences, but if you have not yet sold, you might not have the means to spend $1 on a conference. So we wanted to make it very, very affordable. So the Westchester Marriott really, really has worked with us over the years. I think this is our 9th year, and they've helped us to keep that price. We finagle and we dance other ways to keep our price down for our readers. So the way it works now, we have a ballroom that stays open. So there is always, if you want to sit with a group, you can always get in the ballroom and sit down there. And then we have workshops. So since I broke my elbow, I've lost track of some things. But I think we have 7 or 8 boardrooms, and we have sponsors in those boardrooms, which is one of the ways that we've been able to keep our price down. And that will be publishers and some authors sponsor a boardroom, and they have individual activities going on in those rooms. So it might be a writing class. It might be learning about the newest trends in publishing. It might be who the next big thing is to come out, you know, like when vampires suddenly became popular or young adults suddenly became popular. So there's all these fun activities going on in boardrooms, but the ballroom remains open. So in the ballroom, we have really wonderful raffles. This is very much a collaborative effort. Beth Egan O'Neill, she has since got married. We had a little shower for her at one of the get-togethers. She does our raffles, and you give the girl a mic, and she will carry the theme. She is so good at this, and she really gets people excited. I think it was last year we made $11,000, maybe $12,000, I can't remember, from the raffles, and that money always goes to the One Way Farm, which is a home for abused and abandoned children. Now, we've donated every year to them, and then I always do a benefit book, which means I write a story and I get other really wonderful authors to write stories, and we do an anthology where the advance and all royalties, all the proceeds from the book, will be designated to a charity. Now, I have to say the publishers are really great for working with me on this, because they have to literally come up with a specific new contract so that the money doesn't go to the author, which is how it usually works. It goes directly to our charities. And for the last couple of years, that's been the AAF, which is the Animal Adoption Foundation. It's a wonderful no-kill animal shelter. They do a great job there, and I've literally watched them grow over the years and become even better. And then we give a portion of our book fair proceeds. We have 2 big book signings, which are the only thing that's open to the public. So if anyone's interested, they can check my website for the book signing times. But a portion of our book fair proceeds go to the Conductive Learning Center, which is a special school we're lucky to have here in Ohio for kids with spina bifida and cerebral palsy. So, you know, we try to benefit as many people in as many ways as we can. Oh, and I almost forgot, Lori Damron has been our collector for the troops, and she'll raffle off specific things if people bring in gift cards or cash donations, and then she sends phone cards, and there's special lists online. You can see which soldiers want what items, and she'll send those things off to them. It's been a really great effort on her part.
I have no idea when you have time to write, but we're so glad that you do. And thanks for all this generosity that you give back to all those various causes. Thanks for being with us tonight.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I've been talking with Lori Foster about her latest book, Bear It All. This is the second in her Love Undercover series, along with the annual Readers and Author event she sponsors, which takes place in Westchester, June 9th to 16th. And you'll find more information about both at wvxu.org. For Around Cincinnati, I'm Barbara Gray.